Second hour, Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point on this Tuesday. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe here at Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Avalanche tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game for you at 6. Everything heard right here on these airwaves. And our game day broadcast brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths. You can go to their website, gohermitage.com. Speaking of that, Smashville Live tomorrow night during the 6 o'clock hour. It's going to be a good one. The captain, Roman Josi, and Mikhail Granlund. So keep that in mind tomorrow night during the 6 o'clock hour here on 102.5 The Game. So that should be a really, really good show. You can watch it on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Smashville Live all season brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue.
Looking forward to that. Hal Gill and yours truly will be hosting that. And, you know, he mentioned Facebook Live. We got that up and running now, so you can watch all of our shows via Facebook Live, however you want to, Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and also Facebook Live. So pretty cool that we have the streaming going. But I'm looking forward to talking to Josi and Granlund, but I, you know, would always run into Roman in the locker room. And obviously we haven't gotten to do that in the last 2 years. And, you know, you talked to him, I think, in postgame the last time we were here on New Year's Day.
Yep.
And it was cool to catch up with him for a second. But so it'll be fun. He'll be in the first half of the show and Mikhail in the second half of the show. Two guys having really good seasons for the Preds.
No doubt about it. Right now they've got a lot of worthy candidates. I know there's a long season still to go. Not even at the halfway point yet. Getting close. But there's a lot of Predators players and a coach that right now, if the awards were wrapping up, or if the season was wrapping up and it was time to talk about those awards, there'd be a lot of mentions.
There are, I would say, legitimately four awards, potentially.
Four come to mind right away.
Let's hit those first. The Norris for Josi, which to me, like if you're doing a ranking right now, I would say probably Josi for Norris is at the top.
Well, I mean, quite honestly, watch this game tonight. That these two should absolutely be finals.
Kale McCarr
and Roman Josi. I will be. I mean, something has to happen the rest of the way for those two not to be finalists for the Norris.
I would say right now it's Josi, McCarr, and then either Hedman or Fox would be the three finalists, if I had to guess right now. But you have that. Saros for the Vezina is potentially. Janot for the Calder is one for Rookie of the Year. And then Hines for the Jack Adams Award for Coach of the Year. Now, if this keeps going in the direction that it has been, does David Poile not get into the conversation for GM of the Year? When everybody looked at, it's kind of like a few years ago, everybody looked at this team, wasn't going to be anything, and then, you know, he's the guy that puts the roster together.
I
would think so.
I don't know why that would be a stretch.
Yeah.
I don't know why that would be crazy thoughts.
Yeah, I mean,
this team is currently the number one seed in the Western Conference.
Typically, with these awards, I think, you know, like we've talked about with Mike Vrabel and Coach of the Year with the Titans, that they typically look at coaches that overachieved and ones that, you know, overcame a lot of adversity, which we know Vrabel and the Titans did. Well, you've had the COVID stuff with the Preds, and the fact that it was just a roster that was viewed as meh. They'll probably be right there. And there's still a long way to go. Obviously, a lot of this has to play out. But with what they've done to this point and the fact that you got a game here tonight with two teams that, you know, one was definitely viewed to be in the contention to win the Central and picked to win the Central by many people and will probably be there more so than they are now towards the end of the season once they get everybody healthy.
I feel like it was a consensus. It was Colorado's division and then everybody else.
Yeah, it was Colorado and then you were trying to pick two.
Like, I need to see the person or people that picked someone other than Colorado to win the Central before the season began.
I don't know if they exist. And being honest with you, like, I think the Preds are very much in the conversation. I think ultimately Colorado's still going to win the Central, because once they get everybody up and going and they really hit their stride, they're going to be tough. So this is tonight. You've heard me use the phrase several times, the measuring stick games. This is a measuring stick game, even though Forsberg's out for the Preds and Landeskog's out for Colorado. I heard Robbie Stanley say this morning, I'd love to see this matchup with everybody, you know, in it.
Yeah.
At some point.
Well, that may happen at some point.
At some point.
It's not going to be tonight.
No. Well, how many more times do they play? That's the question. They've played, this
will be the third time.
So they've done two here, one there. At the Ball Arena.
Yeah, it's not the Pepsi Center anymore.
I know.
A couple of arenas for sure that have changed after long, long staying. I mean, I don't know how long it was the Once again, I don't know the time frame. It was a long time. Staples Center, long time. Crypto.com now.
Yeah, that's weird. Because people just called it the Staples. Yeah, I'm going to the Staples.
Yeah.
Like, and you knew what they meant.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is it called? I don't even...
Crypto.com Arena?
No.
Oh, Denver. Ball Arena.
Ball Arena?
Yeah, like the jars, the ball jars. That's what it is.
Okay.
So, I mean, arenas change. Like, this one obviously has had a couple names in its history.
It has, yes.
The Gaylord Entertainment Center.
The GEC.
The GEC. The Somme Center. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting story.
Nobody, yes. A lot of people took a while for them to say it correctly.
Yep. And then Bridgestone. I don't think I'm missing one. But it happened.
Well, I mean, just Nashville. Just the generic ones.
Yeah.
Nashville Arena.
Nashville Arena. The Coliseum.
I don't think it was called the Coliseum.
No, but the thing across the street was.
Yep. Right
across the river.
It was.
For a long time.
It's good to be in this state, a sports fan in this state right now.
Yeah. Titans are on top of their conference.
I'm not sure the Grizzlies are going to lose again. Ask
Grizzlies
Elijah.
Are ridiculous.
He's got to be just.
They play Golden State tonight, right?
They
do. That's right. Yeah.
In Memphis.
They've beaten them once already this year.
The return of Klay Thompson. Pretty cool to see, one, just that atmosphere. I mean, and you think about the injuries he's come back from, but then you watch what he did. It's like, it was like nerve-wracking just to see him, you know, drive the hoop and just dunk it over somebody. I was like, whoa, because it made me kind of queasy, you know. And for him, not even bother him, pretty cool. Pretty cool story.
So tonight in our state, you have two big SEC college basketball matchups, Tennessee, South Carolina, Vandy, Kentucky.
Yep.
Vandy, Kentucky here.
Yep.
You have Golden State Grizzlies in Memphis,
mm-hmm.
Preds Avalanche. Mm-hmm. And it's quite the night. Quite the night for sports in our state. And then obviously the Titans sitting back and waiting to see who they're going to play, which after Saturday, you're going to have more of a clearer picture on that because of the matchups on Saturday. The only potential outcome from Sunday would be if the Steelers were to beat the Chiefs. But you'll have a better idea of who they're going to play after Saturday for sure. So it's a fun time. It's a fun time in sports here. And I love to see it. I know that it's cool when the Predators and the Titans both have success at the same time because I just think it adds an extra buzz. And we were talking about it yesterday that there hasn't been a time in the history that they have both been, you know, atop of their divisions and conferences at the same time. And granted, the Preds are mid-season, but still, it's cool to talk about.
Yep.
Because I can remember I was texting with Sean Henry about this. I was like, when the Titans were the one seed in 2008, they played, I want to say that divisional game was a Saturday. I think it was a Saturday. They played the Ravens, and my buddy that I was going to the Preds game with that night, he had tickets to both. So he and his dad went to the Titans game. They opened the arena about 2 hours early and let you come in and watch the Titans game on the Megatron. So I got down here early, came into the arena, went to the seats, and watched the second half of Titans Ravens on the Megatron, which was pretty cool. And they had open concessions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so obviously had that heartbreak of seeing the Titans lose that game and seeing our good friend Derek Mason celebrate. I showed him a few times because, you know, he doesn't hold grudges or anything. So so we had that going. But memories.
I remember that day well.
Forget who the Preds played.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But I did both. I don't remember who they played.
I can look it up.
Speaking of Derek Mason, he will join us at noon today. So about 45 minutes, we'll pick his brain on what he thinks of the matchups, what he thinks about player preparation going into this time period in the NFL, what goes into – he's been in this spot of getting the extra week off, being the bye. So we'll find out all this stuff from D-Mace coming up in about 45 minutes because it is interesting. The approach, and I do think we're going to find out if it's a good thing because everybody has their different thoughts, and usually it's typically after you see the results. See, they shouldn't have rested players, or see, it wasn't good to be out that long, right? But I don't know if it's ever cut and dry what is best. I think for this team and what they've endured this year, probably the extra week is a good thing. I always think it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. So it was January 10th, 2009. The Titans, the Titans lose to the Ravens, the Predators, a 4-1 win at Bridgestone Arena against the Blackhawks.
Oh, I should have remembered that one. Those were always sweet. All right, let's say hello and good morning to Predators General Manager David Poyle, who is on the line with us. David, how you doing?
Good, thank you. You guys doing all right?
We are good. Doing fantastic. We're just kind of going down memory lane of, a double dip back in January of 2009 when the Titans were the one seed hosting a playoff game and you guys were hosting a game here that night and the two of us took in both. That was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome, yeah. I'd like to give a little shout-out to the Titans. I have really enjoyed watching them play this season. I mean, they are very determined team. I love their compete, and they've had to deal with a lot of injuries. I think they're going to be a tough out. They've really played great, so congrats to the Titans. Looking forward to them getting healthy and playing in 2 weeks. They look really good to me.
I'm not surprised by that statement because you can probably relate to a lot of things you see and you know about what the Titans have had to endure this season and how they play and how they go about their business to what you know, to the product on the ice here, right?
Yeah, well, we're both dealing with, of course, the COVID is still there for every team, and that always seems to throw you a curve, usually just before the game. And, again, it's how you deal with those situations, or if you get a big injury like the Derrick Henry, or, you know, now we're out without, you know, Philip Forsberg. I mean, it's a little bit of a cliche, the next man up situation, but you've got to have that belief in your locker room that, you know, that one player is not going to make the difference, that you can actually play without that guy. And, you are going to get him back. So just, you know, take it up a notch. And, you know, you can just see that by the way they play. There's nobody complaining. There's no excuses. And they play hard every game. And, you know, I think teams are really wary of playing against the Titans. So good on them, and great job by John Robinson. Coach Rabel's looks like he's got every player, you know, ready to go through the wall for him. So there's a lot to like about the Titans.
No doubt about it. Has the league said anything about, that three-week window when you think there could be an announcement on makeup games? I mean, I think the last time I checked, it was, I don't know, over 110 games that needed to be made up league-wide. Mm-hmm. Do you know if that's coming soon as we sit here in mid-January?
No, I don't know, but I, like you, I believe it's coming soon. I mean, there's been lots of discussions. They've asked date, so we've been in communication with them. I believe the goal is to play and make up as many, if not all, the games in February. Whether they can do that or not, I'm not a schedule maker, so I'm not sure how that lines up. I believe for the Predators, the six games that we have to make up based on dates that we've looked at for both ourselves and the teams that we have to play against, that we can get that done, at least in my mind, five of the six games, and maybe there's one team that we have to play a little bit later in the season. So I believe that's the plan, but we're getting within 3 weeks of needing to know that, and you know, we got hotels to book, we got airlines to flights to make, and you know, building availability, a lot of moving parts. So you're like me. I'm hoping that we're going to get the call and be told what we're doing. But if you're asking me what my belief is, it's that we're going to make up most of these games in February.
What was your overall thoughts on the successful road trip that the team just took in? Wins in Vegas, Los Angeles, and finishing things off Saturday night in Arizona with the 4-2 victory, going 3-0.
Really good. Almost everything is good. I mean, we're always trying for, I don't know if it's perfection, but the fact that, you know, early in the year I was talking to you guys about we need more, a lot of things were good, but we need more scoring, secondary scoring. We've gotten that. Our specialty teams that weren't particularly very good in the last couple of years are some of the best in the league this year. We're scoring more goals, as I said. Our goaltending is at the top of the league. We're getting leads in games that makes it easier to play. If there's a criticism, it's the fact that we probably didn't play as well in the third period in those games, and you know, we're under a little bit of duress. But in every game, whether it's the first period or the third period, there's always some ebb and flow. Nobody dominates for 60 minutes, and the other team, you know, gets their act together and you know plays hard. And I mean, that's what the beauty of the game is. So, you know, are there things that we could do better? Yeah, but I think there's a lot of things that are really good for us right now. And like the Titans, I think the belief is there too. So, you know, face a little bit of adversity, whether it's a player out or a little bit of pressure or, you know, penalty kill or what have you, our guys are really handling it well, and they're all in a really good spot right now. So, you know, tonight is a really big challenge tonight. I mean, I've watched Colorado play the last few games, and boy, can they ever take it up? I was watching; they were behind the previous game against Toronto, like 3-0, and you know, you think, well, that game is over with, and they came back with whatever 5 or 6 unanswered goals. They were fantastic. So, really, really good game tonight, and certainly will be a comparisons for what we got in store for us for the rest of the year.
Tomasino set out a game as a healthy scratch on that road trip and then inserted back in there on Saturday night in Arizona. Was that just kind of the ebbs and flows of a rookie? Sometimes you got to hit the reset button, take a night off, and, you know, pick back up. You know, overall, through 36 games this year, where's Tomasino and his development at this level?
Yeah, I think you captured it exactly right. It's the ebbs and the flows, and I mean, you know, this is a kid that you know arguably could be in Milwaukee, and I guess some people might say that playing more ice time higher up in the lineup, he could benefit from that. But overall, he's a good kid. He's a very good, got a good hockey mind. He's taking a lot of things in. He's been very respectful of being the younger players. The guys like him, and every game he plays, he gets chances, and that doesn't happen with everybody. Now, he's got some other areas that he's got to be, I'd say, bigger, stronger in, and you know, some of his defensive play, but we see that almost all the time with every player that comes into the National Hockey League. What we don't see is guys that, you know, have some really offensive creativity, and I mean, to me, I don't know if he scored in a breakaway this year. I know he's probably missed like 8 or 9 breakaways. Been shut down in 8 or 9 breakaways, and he's hit the post several times. So overall, I think Bill has done really, really good for a young player. I like his upside, and I think you're going to see some inconsistencies from young players. And I think it's exactly like you said, Darren. It's just a little bit of a reset for him.
David, do you think there needs to be a reset in the behind closed doors with general managers and just, I guess, talking about rules? It seems the whole instigator thing is getting a little inconsistent. It seems like it's driving head coach John Hines crazy. We've seen it a lot here lately because of the style of play this team plays. They don't take any crap. And if you don't push them, they'll push you. But there's big hits. And we're seeing, some classic by the rule book of what the instigator was put in there for. And sometimes it's called and sometimes it's not. Do you think, one, it is inconsistent in the league? And do you think it's something that needs to be addressed moving forward?
Wish you hadn't asked me that.
Whoops.
Well, you won't like my question either.
Well, you know, nowadays that whenever I'm doing media, your show is heard, all over the place and in Canada. So whatever I say, I think it's a tough call. What's happening here is that a player makes a good hit, and then somebody on that team comes in and says, "Okay, you made a big hit in my guy, so now we gotta fight." I think there's a time. I don't know if it's one Mississippi, two Mississippi, or what have you, or what the player's reaction is to, "Okay, I'll accept the fight," versus if he just drops his gloves and grabs the guy or what have you. So let me try to be more specific. In the Washington game, Borowicki was given an instigator for fighting Tom Wilson. Well, when they looked at it again, Tom Wilson and Borowicki basically agreed to fight. Nobody dropped their gloves. It wasn't Borowicki that dropped his gloves first. It was actually Tom Wilson. So they saw that and they rescinded that situation. So I'm rambling on here, guys, because it's a close and a tough call. And as the referees would probably say, this is what they say in the rule book, but I'll know it when I see it. But it's now not getting to be as clear as it should be. I think if a player challenges somebody, he's under no obligation to fight. He can walk away from it or what have you. But I think usually if the player challenges to have the fight, that they're just going to call equal penalties. If a guy comes really hard at a guy and grabs a guy and forces him to fight, then I think you're going to see the instigator. I know that's not a perfect explanation, but none of these situations tee up exactly like I said either. So good question, but tough to answer. And because it's happened to us a few times, I'm going to put this on the agenda just to talk about a little bit more, to get a little bit more clarification for both the players and for the officials.
We're talking to David Poile, Predators general manager, who joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. Did you get an explanation from the league on the second Arizona goal the other night? It obviously they called a high stick, or the referee called a high stick on the ice. They looked at it. They still counted the goal. It was very confusing. Your head coach gets a delay of game penalty because he's wanting an explanation. So I'm just wondering if the league was able to provide one.
Yeah, I've had a few calls with the league on that situation. There's so much that happened in that situation that a goal goes in. There's a linesman that raises his hand for high sticking. There was 2 minutes and 20 seconds where they conferred. So obviously they weren't totally sure of the situation. Talking to our coach and try to give him an explanation, and he's trying to decide whether he's going to challenge the play. A big brouhaha breaks out with the players on both teams. That distracts the referee. He's now assessing penalties. He throws Gino out of the game, and then he comes back to John, and he's waiting to hear something. John wants to challenge it. The play, and then, you know, again, just two sides to every story. We feel we didn't have enough time to challenge, or we were clear that we were going to challenge. He didn't hear that, and thus I put it down to just something that could have been communicated better, and maybe both sides have a little bit of fault on that situation. But I do believe it could have been handled better, but it wasn't, and so there is no clear explanation of the situation. I think I've given you what happened, and you can sort of decipher what you think has happened. But I think we put that behind us. I don't think it'll happen again, either with us or within this particular officiating crew. And I think we would know how to handle it better in the next time it came around, as would I think the officials. So
sure.
Just better communication.
Sure, fair answer for sure. So tonight, Colorado Avalanche, and I heard Robbie Stanley on our morning show say, I wish, you know, we could see these teams face each other, you know, with all their players. Obviously, Philip Forsberg still in the COVID protocol, Gabriel Landeskog in the COVID protocol for them. But and we obviously know the last time they met what that was like with all the COVID stuff. But mm-hmm. These two teams, this is one of those measuring stick games, is it not, David, of a team that you know is very, very good going up against your team that is very, very good?
No, absolutely. And, you know, they had a little bit of a slow start, and now they're, to me, we're a hot team right now, but they're equally as hot as any team in the National Hockey League. And I think if you were to, you know, forecast at the beginning of the year for our side, meaning our conference, you know, you'd have Vegas and you'd have Colorado is the top two teams, and they're starting to both of them are starting to play that way. So they have no Forsberg. We have no Forsberg tonight. They have no Landeskog, but there's plenty of other top players that's going to make this a very, very good game. And like I say, it's a really good measuring stick to see where we are and how we stand up to them. So I'm really looking forward to the game tonight.
We're at that point in the season where there's chatter about your team with individual awards, whether it's Yossi for the Norris or UC for the Vezina, Coach Hines for the Jack Adams. But one that has kind of come up, and I know Chris Mason and Willie have really been pushing this on social media, is Tanner Janot for the Calder for being an outstanding rookie. And you obviously made a decision as a general manager when you protected him in the expansion draft, and right now you look like a genius because of the season that he's having. Is he where you thought he could be at this point, or is he maybe overachieving a little bit in just his development with how he's played, not only as a skilled player and being able to score goals, but also his physicality?
Again, when you're saying a free agent, you know, you see something in that player, and that goes to our scouting. Glenn Sanders out west deserves credit for that. You know, this guy was a late bloomer, and everything physically, his hands, his scoring, and all that stuff. The only thing that, you know, we saw is this big, you know, aggressive player that, you know, maybe would have a chance. And is he ahead of schedule? Absolutely. I think you'd have 31 other teams say that they saw Tanner Janot, and, you know, they didn't step to the plate. So, you know, it's not like he was hidden. He was playing major junior, but he's, you know, he's developed. We saw something good for us, a bit lucky. And yes, if he had a schedule, I would certainly say so. I mean, if you remember last year, we brought him up for the first game. He played 6 minutes and he barely did anything, not to be critical. I think he was like usual. He was just in awe of anybody. And, you know, we sent him down, and he played really well down there, and we called him up. And I know it was like, are we sure that, you know, like last time wasn't so good? And then we called him up, and he played great, and that was the end of it. But, you know, he wasn't dominating or anything. I think he played well for us. So that was a huge decision for us organizationally, because Yarny was such a really good player for us and coach's favorite, fan favorite, and all that. But, you know, again, nothing against Yarny. I'd love to have him back, but I think we really made the right decision there with Tanner, as he continues to grow and his confidence is elite, and you know, he's playing better than I think anybody ever expected. So, luck, good for him, good for us, and it's a great story, and that's why he's now in the conversation, not only with us but some other people for the Calder Trophy. So let's see how this plays out. I mean, the more success the Predators have, and the more he gets to play, which he is, he's certainly making a great case for himself. So it's a great story, really good story.
David, we appreciate it as always. Have a great rest of your day. See you tonight, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, see you guys tonight. Thanks.
David Poile, Predators General Manager. He joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. Good stuff from him. We'll come back. More on the other side. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5, The Game. Good stuff from David Poile, Predators General Manager. D-Mace coming up at high noon. Speaking of the Predators, let's just go on and do this. Let's just do this right now. It's Tuesday. It's sunny. There's no more snow on the ground.
Definitely not.
Georgia won last night, so I've got a shirt on today. And I'll have an expensive bottle of bourbon soon. Hopefully. Well, actually, I'm going to wait. We're going to wait till June. I'm going to make him present that in June in front of everybody. Just make him squirm. Have fun with it. Let's do this. Caller 9. Philip Forsberg is out of the lineup tonight, but we'll do this in his honor. Caller 9, 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll give you a pair of tickets to see the Predators and the Canucks. Yeah, the Canuckleheads. Vancouver coming to town on January 18th. So caller 9, lucky caller 9. Why are you winning? Because you were listening. That's why. It's that easy. So good luck with that. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as the lines explode. Pff, 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 explode. All right. You said you had some rankings that we were going to discuss.
Okay. So
before we get to D-Mace at the top, pff, so as the lines explode.
Yes, they are. So we've done our top 10 every week. NFL.com does the same thing. They do a power ranking. And so they did their final power ranking before the playoffs started. And I thought it was kind of interesting just based on what we've done with our top 10 of what they did. Now, I don't think either one of us are going to disagree with number one, the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
That is pretty easy.
That's a duh.
And they have been their number one for a while. Number two, they go with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
So this is going into the playoffs. This is their,
basically, 18.
Okay, yeah. After week 18, their rankings.
Correct.
We decided that was it. We're not going to do anything. Once the playoffs are set, we're done. So they're kind of, so we all had Green Bay 1.
Yep.
I had now remember, this is going into week 18. I had the Titans 2. You and Willie had the Rams 2.
Yeah, I would change that now.
You think?
But they have the Bucks. They have, after week 18, they have the Bucks, moving them up from number 3.
Okay.
Number 3, moving up from number 4, the Kansas City Chiefs. Hmm. Okay. I don't really have any pushback. Maybe KC 2.
I had KC 3.
Yeah, I think I had moved them.
You had them to 4. You and Willie had them at 4.
Yeah. Then number 4 for them, moving up from number 7, the Tennessee Titans. So they have the Titans in the top 5.
You had them 3, Willie had them 5, I had them 2. Once again, going into the Houston game.
Yeah, this is going into the playoffs. Rounding out the top 5 for them, moving up from number 6, the Buffalo Bills.
Hmm. I had them 7. Willie had them 7. You did not have, or you had them 6.
I had them 6. So number 6 for them, dropping from number 5.
Dallas.
No. The Bengals.
Hmm.
The Bengals. 6.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know how I feel about that one.
Okay, how do you feel about this one? Number 7, moving up from number 12, the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, don't love it, don't Don't hate it. Don't love it.
Okay. Number eight.
I mean, I do think your Cowboys are on upset alert.
Oh, I definitely think they're on upset alert. I'm nervous. I'm definitely nervous. Number eight, dropping from number two.
Dropping from two to eight?
Yes. The Los Angeles Rams.
Mm.
So they have the Rams there.
It's a little drastic.
It's a big drop. Number nine, moving up from number 10, that is where they have the Dallas Cowboys. And then finally, rounding out the top 10, dropping from number eight, the New England Patriots. So that is their top 10. Quickly, the Cardinals are 11th.
I was going to say, they don't have Arizona in the top 10.
Cardinals are just outside. They are 11th, dropping from number 9.
Okay.
The Raiders are 12th, moving up from 15.
Okay.
The Eagles are 13th, moving up from 14. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 14th, moving up from 18. And then the Chargers are 15th, dropping from 13.
Yeah, nobody cares. They're out of the playoffs.
They're out. Colts, Willie's Colts, are 16, dropping from number 11.
I did not have the Colts in my top 10 going into the game against Jacksonville. You and Willie had them 10. Yeah. I did not have them in the top 10.
I regret that. So I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
Their power rankings going into Super Wild Card weekend, that they surged the 49ers past the Cowboys. That's what the high.
So they're saying they like San Francisco.
Yep.
That's what they're saying.
Yep. Which, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of people that like San Francisco getting the upset. Which, man, oh, man, if that happens, whew. The talk with the Cowboys.
Mm-mm-mm.
So much promise with that team. Having Dak back, Dan Quinn has done a tremendous job with the defense. Should be assistant coach of the year, in my opinion, with the turnaround that he's had. But are you going to lose him?
I don't know. Some of these teams are just interviewing everybody, which is
sure.
Fine.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Like you should.
Jacksonville and Chicago are interviewing everybody.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because those are two organizations that haven't gotten it right in a while.
Fair.
You know? And so they need to do that. Chicago's looking for a GM.
Yep.
Obviously.
So are the Giants.
Giants looking for a GM.
So is Minnesota.
Yep. Jacksonville's keeping Balky.
I do wonder if your boy, Bill O'Brien, your favorite, gets a head coaching job.
Well, I go back to something with him because you brought this up. I think he could because I think Saban's going to help him. Because I think Saban's going to be like, let's go get you a head coaching job.
I definitely think that, yes. Yes.
I think there's some hope that if you're Saban that because you got a stud quarterback in Bryce Young. But that offense and receivers, I mean you have all the makings, running back, everything. And that offense this year was just kind of, there were times where I go, this should be a lot better than they are.
Yeah, look, you know we've had these debates many, many times. By the way, you can stop calling
We have a winner.
Tim Carter. Tim Carter is lucky caller 9. Tim, good job, and thanks to everyone who tried because there were a lot of calls. So, Elijah, sorry that I had to do 9, but, you know, in honor of Philip Forsberg. So, Tim's a winner because Tim was listening. So, thanks for listening, Tim, and enjoy the game against those knuckleheads. I do think you have to be able is Bill O'Brien a pleasant human being to be around? Well, it sounds like everybody we've ever talked to. No, he's not. Is he a likable dude?
No.
Just from everybody we've talked to? No. Doesn't sound that way. But I always said, like, okay, getting past all that, which, you know, I understand that factors in. It just does. Then you better win. And as a coach, he did. As a coach, he did do a lot of winning. Houston was successful with him as their coach. The lines get blurry because I do think that so many times you view Bill O'Brien as the GM too, and he sucked as the GM. He was awful. He had no business. He won the power struggle. And so many times when the coach wins that power struggle, and it sounds like that's what happened in Miami. From all the stuff I've read and heard people talk about the situation, it sounds like Brian Flores lost the power struggle, that he wanted more input. And I do think there needs to be middle ground. But the general manager, that his job is to buy the groceries. But I also understand, like, you can't just – then the coach is saying, well, you're not going to let me have any input, and I'm supposed to just magically always make everything you give me work?
The Bill Parcells line.
Yeah.
They want me to cook the dinner, but they won't let me buy the groceries.
Right. And and so I do think that ultimately the general manager should have the final say.
There's a balance, though.
But there needs to be a balance. Like, it doesn't need to be all or nothing, I don't think. I do think the coach should have input. Now, I don't know what was going on with, what is his name, Greer?
Yeah.
In Miami, the general manager. I don't know if those two just didn't see eye to eye. They're just two totally different people. And that happens in the workplace. That's not uncommon. That, you know, maybe they just don't sound check. Check one, two,
check
one, two.
Check one, two, one, two.
One, two, one, two. Here, Patron check. Platinum Club. Yep, hey, yep. Patron Platinum Club. Check, check, check. Doing a radio show.
It's all good.
I don't even know what the hell I was talking about.
You were rolling.
Something about Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, it was Bill O'Brien of the Power Struggle.
Oh, what, going down to Miami. Like, I don't know. Like, sometimes, you have two different personalities. And maybe that was the case. They were just two completely different people. But if it truly was, you know, think about where Flores came from, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has seen the New England model.
Think about where Bill O'Brien came from.
Where Bill O'Brien has come from. Where Mike Vrabel has come from.
Yep.
And so I understand that, and I don't think you have to be from New England. Like, I do think that should be in, like, the coach should have some type of input. But
some.
I don't know, right. I don't know. Bill O'Brien took it too far.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Fisher here took it too far.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Fisher in L.A. took it too far.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Fisher was to me, he needs to be the head coach,
right?
Not the general manager, in my opinion.
Have input.
I think most.
But
most. Just need to stick to the one job.
But the problem is when you have somebody like Belichick that has been so successful at it, everybody wants to be that. And especially the ones that come from his tree. They want to be that. They want to be, you know, the control freak. They want to be the ones that have the full say on everything when it comes to the personnel. And it's worked for Belichick. Belichick has made it work for 22 years in New England. But I can't think of too many other examples where it's worked off the top of my head other than him.
Yeah, so, I'm trying. Yeah, I'm struggling.
Nobody
has to that level. We know that's
Pete
the
Carroll to an extent, maybe.
To an extent, but not. I
maybe
don't,
Andy Reid to an extent.
Right. Well, there's coaches that certainly have a lot of input. I mean, I think Mike Vrabel has input, right? Belichick is truly doing.
And
he's doing both. Like, he is. I think it's very difficult for. So the lines get blurred with Bill O'Brien. I think if you're talking about strictly just a head coach and he needs to worry about just the product on the field, have a little input, but that's really where it ends.
Got to win in the playoffs.
I would say, he did win some. It's not like he didn't win. He won playoff games.
Not enough.
Okay, but he won. It's this just in. It's hard.
No, I understand.
It's hard to win NFL playoff games, but as a coach, they did a whole lot of winning. As a general manager, he was an absolute failure.
He wrecked the franchise.
Yeah, he wrecked the franchise, which is great for the Titans. It's great for Titans fans. Good. Everybody should be happy. Bill O'Brien destroyed that franchise, and it's not done. It's not fixed. It's not going to be fixed anytime soon. Like, he's probably wrecked them for like 5 years. He's destroyed that franchise. So good on Bill O'Brien. Thanks for making the path a little bit easier in the AFC South. So I don't know if he's going to get hired. I think there's a real shot, but he needs to obviously just be the head coach, because as the head coach, whether it was in college or in the pros, pretty good.
Sure.
And body work is pretty good.
And my question is, if he gets another bite at the apple, which I say there's a pretty good chance that he does, with all these interviews and, you know, just was the OC of a team that went to the national championship. I mean, he's certainly going to get looks. So if there is an organization that gives him another bite of the apple, how much is that going to be discussed? Okay, just so you know, you're the head coach, and that's it. I want you to come here and coach the team. We got a general manager.
Yeah, his other problem is what we talked about. It doesn't seem like he's a very likable guy, and you can get away with that if you do a whole lot of winning.
Right.
But you better be really good at winning, because nobody is going to take up for you. Nobody's going to lobby for you if you're a jerk to people and nobody likes you.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if that's going to change with him. I don't know if he lightens up a little bit. I don't know. I don't know Bill O'Brien. I just know people we've talked to, and it's pretty consistent.
I met him
message.
For 5 minutes, and he was nice.
Yeah.
But Floyd was there, so yeah. I think that had a lot to do with it.
I think it probably had everything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't think it was Jared or me. but I'll say this real quick, because you brought this up with Vrabel. I do wonder, you know, as things go along, because we saw Floyd and Jeff worked great, and then Jeff wanted more power, and that's when it didn't work great. That's when the power struggle happened, and Jeff won the power struggle. With both John Robinson, and if you're looking at things right now, you're giving a whole lot more credit to Vrabel than you are Robinson because of the drafting and some of the free agent signings.
It's hard to, as much as I think, you know, it's hard to knock John Robinson because all they've done is win.
Sure.
Since he's been the general manager. I think what you're saying is true, though.
So my point here is, I do wonder, though, do they avoid the power struggle just because they both came from the Patriot model? The fact that they both know how it works, and they have that respect for each other, and the fact that I don't sense that there will ever come.
I mean, obviously, you can't ever predict the future. You don't truly. I just don't sense that being in play.
Yeah,
ever, right.
That's my question.
I
think because they both know of, you know, do your job and this is what it takes to win and all those things that they've heard from years out of Belichick, that they know if they start a contest with one another, that it's not going to end well. So
is this a peeing contest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because I feel like that they do. You know, I'm sure they have their disagreements and there's stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about, like with anybody, of trying to build a football team. You know, I brought it up yesterday. Was the Jim Schwartz thing Vrabel's idea, or was it, you know, suggested, or was he told, or however, because of just how he answers the question whenever it comes up?
I think you would be hard-pressed to believe that was his idea by the way he handles that.
Correct.
I would honestly be stunned. Because why would you ever answer a question like that? And like I said, when we talked about this yesterday, it's not the first time he's been asked this.
No.
And it's not like he's always acted that way, but it's not like he's also warm and fuzzy with it either, which suggests that, you know, he probably had nothing to do with it or reluctantly said, fine, whatever.
Yeah. So I think it was definitely, you know, he was – said, hey, you should give this a shot. It was not his idea. But at the same time, I think because of where they both came from, that's going to help them avoid any type of power struggle in the future.
I agree. We'll come back. D. Mace to begin the third hour of Darren Donica Chase. Let me talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. They're my friends because they've been helping me be healthier and happier for many, many years. They've improved my quality of life, and I say big thumbs up. Cool Springs MD, and they can do the same for you. And you know what? This just in, spoiler alert, it gets harder. It gets tougher as we age. Yes, things start breaking down. Things start happening. And you don't really have to be getting older. We most as adults have to struggle with weight loss management at some point, right? And maybe you're at that point, especially after the holidays, and you would love to shed a couple pounds. Well, they've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. They take that very seriously there. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, and it gets more challenging as we get older. They can talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally hormone therapy. Maybe lately you've been feeling off. You haven't had the same drive. You haven't had the same energy. You've been having mood swings. You're like, wow, I don't feel like myself. What is going on? Well, did you know your levels dip as you get older? Now, as they dip, they could affect you in these areas. So they will be more than happy to sit down and talk to you about BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof at 1642 Westgate Circle there in Cool Springs. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.